Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Scanline Tabletop. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Jennifer Uncle.
And we are here to hopefully bring to a close our game of Mars Colony. Mars Colony, a game about personal failure in government for two people. Jen has been playing as Kelly Perkins, our savior of Mars. Currently, Governor of Mars, attempting to turn around the colony's many problems. The colony has been beset by social unrest, terrorism, and issues of transportation. Transportation may sound like the most tame of those, but it's actually, you know, if you can't get anywhere, that's a problem.
Yeah, if you heard what happened in our last episode, you might know transportation pretty serious.
Yeah, can be a big deal. You have solved the issues of terrorism and social unrest. You are sitting on turn 6 of 9, so you have solved 2 of the 3 problems with 2/3 of your turns. And now we're just here to see whether you're going to be able to bring it home on transportation. I, of course, will be playing everyone who's not Jen. Everyone who's not Kelly.
Yeah, both allies and foils.
And I think where we left off was with your successful role to solve the terrorism issue, to stabilize that. So, and also to be clear, you know, like, when I say solve, like, you know, that's just like for our purposes, it's solved, right? It's not like, okay, you rolled good. In the next 500 years, there will never again be social unrest on Mars. it's just you've done your job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Your job is hard. And I think as we've been doing, I'm going to do an opposition scene. But I don't, you know, a lot of my previous opposition scenes have been kind of, you know, kind of urgent. Right? And I don't think this is going to be as dire. I do think it's going to push our story in the direction of addressing transportation. I think there's sort of like a, like in the wake of, you know, the issue, the transportation attempts to solve it that have not gone so well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Terra Concord, which is the company that has taken over all the contracts for transportation on to and from Mars and on Mars from the previous operators of Red Ridge, are holding basically a big event. And it's like, you know, normally you wouldn't get involved in their events because it's like, you know, it's a corporation. But basically the way they're doing this is they're just like, hey, we want to work really closely with government figures, and we're going to have a bunch of government figures on here so we can like hold like an all day, like sort of like conference slash like, you know, roundtable thing where people talk about like we show our commitment to fixing this issue, and we have like announcements and stuff from public figures, including them being like, you know, like, this is an opportunity for you to say like, oh, I wanna you know, like, I wanna set up a rail system, and if you do it here, they'll be like, and we'll help with, you know, this amount of money. So it's an opportunity to sort of get them on the hook to financially aid your efforts. So a lot of politicians are taking part in this. Do you have anything you want to pitch here? Obviously, what we do with it, you know, this is a opposition scene, but, you know, we can lay some groundwork if you have, if Kelly has a plan that she wants to get to work on.
My brain's going to what the topology of Mars might look like, so it's difficult to say too much. I almost want to say, since the streets are pretty crowded, and it seems like, are we encased in a dome, or is it just like an environmental area where they've made the air breathable somehow? I forget.
We never established that. I like the idea of like not a hard dome, but a dome that's maintained through like, you know, Like, there is basically effectively a dome, but you can go in it, you can go through it because it's maintained through, like a containment field and pressure.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sort of like the domes in Star Wars Episode 1.
Sure. I don't remember that at all, but sure.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in, like, 20 years.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess in that case, since the ground's pretty crowded and there's not a ton of room to work with above, would it be possible to make something that's kind of like underground, like a underground metro system?
Absolutely. Sure.
Okay. Then that's probably the thing I would want to propose. Like a... What would be a good name for that?
You could just call it the Red Line. That'd be funny.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. Yeah, the Red Line. And it's basically... It's a series of tracks that connect to various points of interest within Mars, both consumer areas. It's a mix of consumer areas, housing areas, and factory areas, I'd say. So it makes it easier for everyone to get where they need to go.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. So I think you're there to make that announcement, and I think you've done some little bit. You've got like a bigger talk on it because, of course, you're one of the big announcements, right? Mm-hmm. So you do some little mentions of it, but you're not like your real like your panel on it. Your sit down and have harder details is going to be later in the evening. At the moment you're just sort of like, well, here's a good question. Are you like? I imagine this is the kind of thing where, like, you're probably there all day, but, like, you know, you can, like, step out of sight, go, you know, like, you don't have to be on all the time. Are you going to other people's panels and stuff, or, like, how are you approaching this?
I'd say that I'm going to other people's panels, yeah. Like, if I was just sequestering myself away the entire time, then it'd probably be seen as... Oh, since she's in charge, she won't, she's only interested in her idea and her idea alone, so I imagine showing up to at least a few of them would be good visibility and show that, I care about the issue more than my single idea.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. You are, you know, going around, going to different events, and, about to start is an event for, Mila Haraway. She has an announcement to make, and, you know, like, people are, you know, like, she's, you know, head of the Yellow Party, and the Yellow Party is a minority party at this point, so, like, decently prominent. And I think people are interested because for... Whatever you think about the Yellow Party, I think Mila has been a consistent, has been probably the best thing they've had going.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people are interested to hear what she has to say. Start to, like, I think you're, like, You said you're like gonna go to this panel, right?
Yeah.
I think you get a call like 15 minutes beforehand, and you know, you've got, you know, it's the future. We have caller ID. It's Mila.
Okay. Yeah, I'll accept that call and be like, "Hey Mila, what's up? Hear you that you're about to do a panel soon. I was planning on attending it."
Yeah, hi. Sorry to, this is so last minute. I really do apologize, Kelly. I had a friend who was supposed to be on the panel with me. We were supposed to have a discussion, and they got stuck in traffic. They can't make it. I was wondering if you wanted to be on stage with me?
Sure, I could do that, yeah. It'll be a good opportunity to ask you more questions directly about what you're proposing, and I'm excited to hear what you have in offer.
For sure. Yeah, no, I was like, the original plan was to have, like, my friend was going to be up here and just sort of, like, basically, you know, grill me in what my plan is. So I think you'll be pretty good at that. Yeah, great. So you can just come on over. I'll let the guards know to let you in early. And yeah, we'll get everything set up.
Excellent. See you there.
And yeah, you're let in. There are people waiting outside, but it's just like they're still setting things up, so they're not letting everyone in, but you are let inside. On stage, it's like there are two plush chairs with microphones and, you know, like glasses of water. A pretty basic setup. There are people, you know, rushing around like wiring the place up. Mila is in a corner sort of like fretting over her clothes. And she sees you and she smiles and she says, "Oh, Kelly, great. Thank you so much for coming."
"Of course. You look great, by the way."
"Oh, thank you. I'm really excited. You know, it's weird. I feel like this sort of whole thing," and she sort of gestures around, "like we wouldn't have had this on Earth. The corporations on Earth are, well, I'm not going to say that this company is any less self-interested, but at least this one's willing to, you know, make gestures towards helping people. And it's really encouraging. It makes me optimistic about this colony, that the companies are willing to at least try and find ways to make it profitable to help people."
"Totally. And I feel like back on Earth, you spend just as much time arguing for an opportunity to keep services running, not just create new ones entirely. So there's like a good sense of we might be able to make something happen here."
"Yeah. Yeah. I think we could really make something special. I wanted to say, by the way, I didn't, you know, all the fuss, I didn't get a chance. I'm sure the whole situation with the space station was really stressful for you, but you handled it incredibly. I think everyone on Mars is really appreciative of your leadership in these last few months."
"Thank you very much. It really means a lot to hear that."
And a tech is like, "5 minutes." It's like, "Oh, gosh, I guess we gotta get in these chairs. Gosh, it feels weird to be rushed into plush chairs. These are like too plush." And she sort of like pushes in her hand, like kind of sinks in a little more than you'd think is reasonable. She's like, "Okay, I guess just good posture, right?" And she sits down her chair and people start to file in, taking their seats. There are a few like spots off to the side where Terra Concord has some of their press, and then on the other side is the News Network Corps with some of theirs, also including News Network Corps security, of course.
Are they engaging in this stare down or anything like that?
They've set up a situation where, like, I mean, this is a Terra Concord event, so it's like Terra Concord has graciously decided that there will be like two areas, one for Terra Concord and one for News Network, so there doesn't need to be any conflict. And if it turns out that the News Network area has a slightly worse angle and maybe worse connections, I mean, gosh, that's just a strange coincidence, isn't it?
Strange indeed.
You're setting up on a new planet, and you never can predict the logistics. And I'm sure next time everything will be hunky dory. So just, you know, bear it with grace. And the panel starts, and Mila says, "Hello, everyone. Thank you very much, and welcome to the future of Mars. I think throughout the day, we've heard so many great talks, so many great ideas, and so much commitment to making the problems of this colony a real priority for both the leadership, the people, and even the corporations. And it really is encouraging to see. I am here today. Some of you might, I think of myself as something of a Rhodes Scholar. that's a joke, because I'm here to talk about Rhodes. Nobody laughed. That's fair. So I see that one of the big problems we have, of course, is that the Mars colony was laid out in such a sprawling fashion. We have this central dome here, this central location, where we have most of the colony's infrastructure. And then we have settlements scattered across the surface of the planet to a degree that almost feels like it was made to look good on a postcard rather than lead to good infrastructure. And obviously, that's not a feasible way to run a planet. Postcards are all well and good, but people's lives have to come first. And so I am proud here to announce, and of course take questions, first from my friend and co-host on this panel, Kelly Perkins, and then afterwards from the press and the audience, on my plan for the for Route 666, the Miller-Haraway Highway.
Huh? Is that is that a work in progress name, or is that the final name?
I mean, you know, anything can change, but I'm fond of it.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us more about this highway.
So basically, we were trying to figure out. You know, it is. Our friends at Terra Concord have been very gracious to hold this event, but it is also obvious that you can't expect a corporation to work purely in public interest, right? You need to give them something. And so we came up with the idea of Route 666, which is this highway. It is a branching highway that through, you know, multiple paths will split to most major centers on Mars. Obviously, there will be some offshoots which are not reached. They will have to be reached with a future program. It is a maglev highway system. It is going to be built to incorporate modern vehicles, so you're not going to have to get a new car to go on this, but once you get on it, the highway will just pick you up and take you off. And you can just let go of your steering wheel, which leaves you free to pay, you know, attention to, you know, whoever you want to talk to in the car, or get any business calls you need to done, or, of course, the highway will be funded by ample amounts of both along the side of the road and also projected onto your windshield. A lot of advertisements for both products and, you know, whoever wants to pay up, because this is also going to be a great boon to the economy of Mars, which is an issue that people don't really talk about, where Mars was created to mine resources for Earth. That's not a long-term plan. Mars needs to be bigger than that, and part of that is establishing a stable and versatile economy on Mars for tourism, for leisure, for commerce, to make it a fully well-rounded colony capable of all the sorts of businesses you'd see back on Earth. And that, you know, where there's business, there's advertisement. So we are you would think this would be a situation where we'd have to make a sacrifice to get this funded, but in fact, we're killing two birds with one stone.
I see. So the way that the monorail is situated, basically, it's something that's above, and basically your car gets pushed up into it?
Well, it's sort of, what happens is you drive onto it, and there's a transition zone. Of course, we have engineers who can explain this a little better than I can. I'll do my best. But there's the maglev system, and when your car drives onto it, the maglev, like, picks up your car and then sort of issues it into a line where all the cars are moving at the same rate. You send to the central computer your destination, and it will send you all along any branches or exits automatically as needed. You never have to leave your car. Your car doesn't get loaded onto another vehicle. You're just in your car.
I see. And what happens if there's a bunch of cars that want to get picked up in the same location? Like, what's the general speed, would you say, for getting picked up by this?
It should be pretty quick. The process is just a quick like pulse to magnetize your vehicle and then lift you up. We're still, you know, refining the technology, but in theory, it shouldn't take more than 30 seconds to go from the street to being established on the highway.
Okay. And in terms of the way that the systems that the highway goes through, like, will it be, will its path, will its path, will you need to clear any space, like, in the path that it's going? Like, is there anything that's currently in the way of where the planned routes are that would need to be lowered or demolished or anything like that?
There are some, mountains and things that we'll be dealing with, of course. Geography is always a challenge. As far as existing infrastructure, I believe there are some outdated roads that will be incorporated into the highway, upgraded and improved to suit the highway's needs. Because currently they aren't really suiting anyone's needs. You know, these roads were set up, they're so far apart, they're hard for us to maintain because it's hard to get there. Part of this that's nice is because it is so fast to travel this, if you need to do maintenance on it, you'll be able to travel to where you need to do maintenance quickly. And we also have a separate emergency line for maintenance vehicles.
Hmm.
Do you not want to pull over for the police? You don't have to. They have their own lane.
Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. And those mountains aren't part of any sort of Mars nature preserve or anything like that, are they?
Nobody preserves the nature on Mars. It's just a bunch of red rocks.
Okay.
I appreciate, you know, where you're coming from. Of course, on Earth, there's so many natural beauties. Up here, it's just like, listen, I love Mars, but I love Mars for what we're making it into, as opposed to what it started as, which was basically a pile of rust shavings. And some people in the crowd don't necessarily love this description.
Well, I don't think I have any more questions at this. Well, I guess I do have one. In terms of, aside from advertising, that probably will pay for some of it, but will there be any sort of fee that the riders need to pay to get on this highway, or any sort of taxes that would be included for it?
We don't have the authority to issue taxes, of course. We'll be thinking of proposing some things to the colony council as needed. As far as other fees, we are still working out the details, and we're not ready to make any announcements at this time.
Okay, I think that about does it for on my end, at least.
Great. Any questions from the audience? And I don't need to zoom into this. People are wondering about like the kind of advertisements, and Millihara basically says it's open season. Some people ask about, you know, internet access. Yes, there'll be internet access. Someone's like, hey, how am I supposed to get business done? You say I should do, like, business calls, and, like, how am I supposed to do that if there will be ads playing constantly? And she's like, oh, you know, you'll be able to pay an extra fee in order to mute the ads. Don't worry about it. I think generally the vibe, at least I can't speak for Kelly. I think the vibe that we as the audience get is that this is actually going to be a capitalist nightmare.
Yeah. Having ads playing everywhere and inserted into your car, that's pretty extreme.
And also, I mean, like, you know, there is the issue of, you know, it's all well and good, but the idea of a rail system that uses your vehicle, but you have no control over your vehicle, there could be issues.
Mm-hmm.
Also, throughout the whole day, I think no one has any, there is like maybe one talk that occurs of someone being like talking about the old like railgun transportation system and talking about like ways to like make it feasible to use again. But it's kind of a weak talk, and it makes it clear that nobody really has any good ideas.
Okay.
So that sort of sets up the situation as far as transportation. The like quick, like emergency transportation between Earth and Mars is still in a bad situation, and no one really knows how to fix it. And then as far as infrastructure on Mars, if things continue as they are, it will be a capitalist nightmare.
All right, so hopefully, I guess now it's up to me and my red line proposal to hopefully offer something that's not like that, since at least in areas outside the United States, I feel like public transportation and things like that are seen like as a common good.
Yeah, you know, we still have, like, states like Missouri, where you're driving through and there's, like, a, like, gun owners for Jesus signs and shit, but most of the country, you know, we try and also the world at large, transportation is important. Let's try and get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got your six-sided die ready? You're ready to roll 2d6 to see how your progress goes. Actually, so you've already set up your solution is this red line, this basically like subway/metro system. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, I am rolling now. Oh god.
What you get?
A 1 and a 3.
Okay. So you know how this works. That is a failure. I'm going to go ahead and mark that that's turn 7. You are going to lose an admiration here. That brings you down to 5 admiration. And let me double check that I remember how all this goes. So, do you want to create a contempt by creating a deception in order to keep this going, or do you want to accept this failure?
This would be like, I only have 3 turns this podcast, right? Like until the end of the game?
Yes.
And this is one of my 3. I'll go ahead and do a deception because I'll need every point I get. I need every point I can get.
Okay. So, what, like, how is this working? Like, what goes wrong, and how do you cover it up?
What would be the most interesting way for something like this to go wrong? What if I underestimated how, well, I overestimated how much room I was working with beneath Mars, and it's like, I'm having my team put together the policy proposal and everything like that, and one of the prominent scientists that's working for me on this is like, Kelly, we need to talk here. It turns out that this plan you have, like, I respect what you're going for. I think that public transportation is a vital need, but your outlines here and the actual underbelly of Mars, there's no way that the two fit together neatly, at least not the way that you've done it. And we're basically looking at a situation where if we went to the depth that we needed to make this metro system happen, it would be dangerously close to the planet's core, or at least dangerously close to areas that no human being should feasibly be in. It would also undermine both the It would also undermine the stability of the terrain in those areas, which happen to run underneath various parts of the city.
Mm. Okay, and how are you going to get around this? Like, what, like, so, obviously, your current plan isn't going to work. How are you going to, like, are you, like, is your deception, like, hiding this fact and being, like, oh, we ran the numbers and that's not, like, that's not efficient? Just to try and make it look like you didn't goof up and like, talk out of your ass, or what exactly?
Yeah, we could do that. What also, I'm trying to, well, I did have an idea, but it might be too heel-turny for this character.
Well, let's hear it and we can decide.
We fire the person who suggested it and promote someone else who doesn't see a problem with it.
I mean, I think there's a less Healy version of that, which is basically just like you get a second opinion, and the second opinion is a person that says, like, I mean, that's certainly a possibility, but I don't think it's a guarantee. And you're like, okay, well then here we go.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah.
All right. Well, then you can keep rolling.
Okay. Oh, fuck. Oh, no.
What'd you get? Tell me.
I got snake eyes.
Okay. So, this is what's called a scandal. So, wow. I need to check something real quick.
All right.
Because the thing I'm not clear about is, it says you lose all your lie points. I'm not sure if that will undo progress that's been locked in. Because part of social unrest was on a deception.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happens here, my friend. I'm pretty sure it's bad.
Well, I mean, even if it didn't undo that progress, it seems like it would still be bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's definitely bad. Because definitely you're at zero for transportation because your deception ends up not covering up the thing because your deception is revealed via a scandal. Okay, so it looks like, thanks to your previous, deception, I think you had 6 points that were, of false on social unrest.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is it's still going to be marked as solved. It's down to a 34 instead of a 40.
Okay.
So basically, the people still think it's solved, but in a couple of years, they're going to figure out that's not fucking true.
Okay.
As far as other consequences,
I'm over here flinching.
All of your current deception points move to contempt. So you're up to 4 contempt.
What's the game ranking amount of contempt again? What's the game over level contempt?
I don't think there's technically one. You're right. There is, isn't there? Let's see. Until there. Okay. So, Jen, here's a thing that I need to figure out whether the game ends right now or not.
Oh, God.
Does a scandal count as a failure, or is it a separate thing? Because if it's a separate thing, then you're at 4 contempt, and it takes 5 contempt to end the game. If it counts as one, that's 5 and the game is over. I can't tell from this, and I think that's less interesting. I'm going to leave you at 4 contempt here.
Yeah. If we get to the point where things do end with contempt, it'd be nice to at least get one or two more scenes in before then.
Right, rather than just pull on the ripcord.
Yeah,
just,
keep things going as long as we can.
Keeping in mind that this is a scandal, that your deception was discovered, and that people are very pissed. What? And that you've made zero progress on transportation. What happens, bud?
So I feel like my deception may have to be a bit more serious than just getting a second opinion, then, if people are going to get a backlash like this. Or it's a situation where we do start digging and we end up hitting something serious, like underneath the surface of Mars. Like, like maybe we accidentally break a water main in the colony, and that water main loses a lot of water that, well, do we have a system here where we can make water, or does that need to be imported as well?
I mean, the system needs to be imported, but you have it now.
Okay.
It was one of the first things they send here.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, it's the point where people need to... The severity of the pipe damage is such that for a certain part of the colony, they don't have water access right now, and they have to go elsewhere to get it. Like, there are situations and stations in place where they can get it elsewhere, but considering how the main form of transportation is currently out to Earth, where some of the repair stuff is... It's a pretty serious issue. Like, it's that kind of thing where sometimes you see in America a certain utility will go out, and sometimes that utility will take months to fix completely. And we're in a similar situation here.
And I think, things sort of turn... I think, you know, the because you'd locked it in, your previous, like... The social unrest thing doesn't explode right now. But basically, it's like you had garnered a lot of respect for people, from people, and sort of gotten the parties to behave, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're still behaving, just not towards you anymore.
They're basically sort of like, what can we do to get this motherfucker out of here?
I think they're not to that point necessarily. I mean, like, some of them are. I think probably the blue party, who's never been a big fan of what you're doing, but also they're, at this point, they're fringe, so they're not that influential. But, like, I think, like, you know, you stumped for... the Victoria Bright to become a council member, and now she's giving like talks about how like your like thoughtless pursuit of like science ideas without considering, you know, human realities is costing people lives.
Oh, damn.
And I think, you know, she's the kind of person who's like, she is fairly close to being what we would consider, like, at least in terms of presentation, she's close to being a Democrat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's not willing to be super mean about it, because you could say she's polite, you could say she's a coward, call it what you want. But her message is pretty strong of like, you are like, your policies are careless and they are hurting people.
I think that's pretty fair, yeah, considering everything.
That your policies happened. Are careless and they're hurting people, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I resulted, aside from the water main thing, we did just an episode ago end up shooting a hole through Mars with a railgun.
And not clear through Mars, to be clear. It wasn't like an in-and-out situation, but, because that would be real bad. Okay. I think I'm going to just create a rather normal scene, which is, I think it's a personal scene, where this is a scene that's sort of resulting from contempt, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are taking a meeting from a group of former Green Party, sort of the more radical part that was excised. And it consists of Benedict Dalton, and he's being very quiet, but also Councilmember Stewart, who you arrested, who was acquitted recently.
Oh, damn. Okay.
And he's like, Councilmember Stewart is, you could say he's an idiot. I'm not going to disagree with you, but he's not a complete idiot. He knows that he should not have gotten off, and he's not pushing his luck, right? So he's there as part of this group, and he's being pretty quiet. Benedict is certainly the more vocal one. He's going to be the one doing most of the talking here. And this is a meeting because they're going to open a new colony, right? They're going to open a new, like, settlement. And in theory, it's like, oh, okay, great. But they're opening it on one of the moons of Mars, Phobos. And they're specifically going there because they're kind of done with your shit. And, like, they're within their rights to open up a new settlement. This is everything they're doing is by the book, but mm-hmm. everyone involved knows that this is kind of a fuck you. So this meeting is a tense one.
Okay.
And I think, like, you know, there are papers to be signed. Normally the expectation is that there would be like a proper meet and greet. And then afterwards, you know, your lawyers would talk to their lawyers. But as Benedict walks in, he is walking like side by side with his lawyer, who immediately slaps down the paper, and Benedict sits down. Councilmember Stewart and a few other people from his group sit down. He's like, let's get this done.
Very well. And are my lawyers here too? Or
Do you want them to be?
I guess I don't need them. It's one of those situations where... Do I need to roll to make sure they didn't sneak anything in there, or is this by the book?
You don't need to make any rolls here. Okay. This is a personal scene. This is mostly color.
Okay.
And you know law well enough that you're not gonna like get hoodwinked by a bad contract or something.
Yeah. I make the effort of looking things through and sort of I am signing everything. It's just one of the situations where I'm aware that this situation is tense and I kind of don't want to talk about most of it. So mm-hmm. It's one of the situations where I'm just I'm more or less getting through it as quickly as I can while also reading the actual substance of it and just notating and signing where I need to, and then kind of push it back over to them. It's like, okay, it's everything's taken care of here, I assume.
Yeah. We should probably, I've got Evan Bao from News Network on the way. We should probably have something in the paper about this, or it's going to seem even shadier.
I agree. Yeah, we can get some photos of this and have some statements on the record and just make it as quick and painless, but also as public as possible.
Yeah. We're not doing a handshake photo, though.
Fine by me.
And you can tell there are a lot of things Benedict wants to say, but he, whatever has happened in the last few months, he at least has learned a little patience. He's just, like, very obviously stewing, but he is at least stewing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the time the photographers get here, I imagine the photographs involved with it are basically us standing side by side and maybe doing a bow or just trying to look neutral, I guess, towards everything that's happening. Kind of like, mm-hmm. This is a very official government business and everything is fine. Please don't think about it too hard.
mm-hmm. And I think the pictures are taken, and Evan Bao is very good at reading rooms, and so doesn't push, understands what's going on here. Slides out, and I think there's still some general milling about. Mostly it's like, you know, people are talking to their own people. And former council member Stewart comes over to you and says, Governor.
Stewart?
And he glances to make sure that, like, there are no lawyers within earshot. And he says, I didn't want things to go as far as they did. I don't know what I want from this exchange here. I am grateful I was acquitted because it's another chance. I am not sure I deserved to be. And I want to let you know. I'm sure you have your anxieties about this colony, and I'm not going to tell you not to have them. But for what influence I still have, I'm going to try and make this an honest, earnest thing. I don't want any more mess. We've had enough.
I appreciate that, Stuart, and I agree. Yeah, the best way to go forward is just make this as clean as possible, and hopefully from there we can both start rebuilding.
Yeah. I guess, in a weird way, the last couple of months you've had, maybe you can understand my position a little better. Not all the way, I'm sure, but, you know, you make some decisions and they get out of control, and...
I do a little quiet, but sort of like sort of one of those sort of sad hollow laughs sort of thing. It's like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Anyway, in a weird way, I think this will all be good for Benedict. I think he'll get away from the people who make him unable to control his temper, and he'll cool off a little bit, and we'll just be some weirdos up on the asteroid, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, and at some point, maybe we can get to a point where the two colonies are somewhat closer together, or maybe things will... Maybe we can push towards having a happier relationship between our two groups.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be good. I know there's not a lot of people who are willing to say this right now, but thank you for everything, Governor. None of this is good, but you know it wouldn't have been better if you weren't here. It would have been worse.
That's comforting to some degree. Thank you.
Well, I'm still on probation, so I better get away. Yeah. I think technically I'm supposed to give you at least 10 feet, so I'll go back to my crew.
Catch you later.
And I think that's all I wanted from that scene. If you have anything else, like, I think, you know, they head up there, they get their supplies, and, like, you know, I don't know the orbital period of Phobos, but, like, you know, it orbits the planet, and every once in a while, you know, you see that little moon go sailing by, and you see lights on it, which were not there before.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice way to end that scene, I think.
So what do you want to do?
Well, I have two turns to solve the transportation issue, huh? And I'm working from zero.
You could... Yeah, no, I think that's...
Well, now that my plan went out the window, I guess... Okay. What if we took the monorail idea Miller Haraway did, except we take a somewhat risky stance of introducing taxes to the mix? Like, finally being like, okay, being barraged with ads is not a good way to... It's not a great way to experience life on here, and we don't want to burden people with that. So this is an investment that everyone will need to make, but it's an investment that will pay off, and it's for the common good.
So I have great news for you.
Yeah?
Because you cashed in your deceptions for contempt, you can't have a scandal occur. You just roll. It's fine. You can still have a failure, but...
All right. Here we go. All right. I got a 4 and a 5.
Okay. That's a 9 total. Would you like to keep rolling?
I need to at this point. Yeah. I'll roll again. A 5 and a 1.
Oh, it was such a beautiful dream, wasn't it?
Oh, no. Okay, so I can't cash any more checks in, can I?
Oh, you can create a deception here. You absolutely can.
Okay, and that prevents my contempt from... Because contempt going one more is game over, right?
Contempt going one more is game over.
Okay. We gotta do deception then.
Okay. What's the deal?
There's like a bit of we've run the math, and getting it up to speed at the rate that we need it is an entire and rolling out taxes would be too expensive for everyone involved, so we commission a somewhat more subtle advertisement situation based on the design of the vehicles themselves. Like there's something like wouldn't call it subliminal, there's just something that's the way that like maybe a certain car company gets to have their... Well, they basically designed the cars for the... Well, not, they couldn't design it for the cars because the cars go on there. Damn it. Okay.
Okay, so here's an idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, part of this whole program is that you promised, like, that there's a certain amount of speed involved, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think what you could do is you're like, oh, we ran the numbers, and if we're going to get rid of the ads, we can still do it. We can't hit that speed. And so you just, like, you come up with a thing where you're like, oh, yeah, we can totally hit that speed, but turns out, like, regulations we didn't know about, we're not allowed to go that fast. Darn.
That's a good way of doing it, yeah.
And you're referring to like old like Earth legislature that like would take it would be such a pain in the ass for someone to look it up, and you have no reason to lie about this, so they're just like, okay, well, that's too bad. But and so the transportation solution is a little less good. What was your roll?
That was a 6.
Okay.
So I'm up to 15 now.
Yes, you are.
All right.
Go ahead and do you want to roll again, or do you want to call it?
I mean, at the end of this, we still need to get the transportation thing resolved, right? Like that's the end game here.
We do.
It's do or die then. Like I had to keep rolling.
Okay.
No, God.
What'd you get?
A 1 and a 4.
Okay, you're allowed to create another deception. You can just keep lying till the cows come home if you want.
Okay, yeah, let's keep lying. Okay.
Good answer.
This time, it's a situation where we set it up so that the ads are set up so that they're not being projected into the vehicle, but they're sort of put up in little floaty blimps near the area, or some sort of levitation sort of technology. Sort of like the maglev, but it's nearby areas, and it's also kind of blocking up some of the view of various pedestrians and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that'd be 19 total now, right?
Yes.
With 40 to go.
What was it again?
1 and a 4. 5.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
So you don't need to solve it this turn. You can solve it next turn if you want. You are allowed to... If you want to stop at 19, you can do that, and then, like, come up with a separate plan to address the rest of transportation, because there's only, you know, like, you can keep rolling, I don't have a problem with that, but there's only so many ways you can undermine one plan.
Yeah, good point. Okay. we'll take this very compromised plan and call it good, and, let's see what happens.
All right. So just for the folks at home, that was turn 8. We have one turn left. We're at 3 admiration, 4 contempt, and 2 deception. this went bad so fast.
it's fitting that for our last episode with this game, things just start flying off the rails, literally.
Let's see. You know. Actually, this is a scene where I'm going to give you, like, I don't have, I feel like most of the time it's been like, I know how this scene is going to go, and, like, I want you to flesh it out, but, like, I have an end in mind. This is an honest-ass conversation where Kelly could change the way this goes. This is another personal scene.
Okay.
These personal scenes are kind of they would in another context be like obviously opposition scenes for social unrest the way I'm writing them.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to address that anymore, so that's not how this is going.
Okay.
Things have been going not great. And I think there's a degree to which, also Mila has not entirely appreciated the way you've screwed with her plan.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still your friend, and the two of you went out to get coffee, and it's a quiet day at the cafe. Like, there's nobody else around you. There are only a few other people at the cafe. You're sitting in the corner drinking coffee. And it's been kind of quiet. You've had a few, like, very small, you know, words exchanged back and forth. And Mila keeps sort of just glancing up at the sky. And finally she says, you know, Mars has 2 moons.
That it does, yeah. There's Phobos and then the other one, whose name I'm currently blanking on.
Deimos.
Deimos, that's it, yeah.
I hear they're doing pretty well up on Phobos.
Yeah, they... Considering where we are, where we were with several of those people before, they seem to be pretty happy where they are right now.
Situation where, you know, it's a small enough area, you don't need to worry about transportation issues so much. It doesn't take too long to get from the moon to the surface if you need supplies. You have a lot of privacy. You can sort of set your own policies. There's a lot of people in the Yellow Party are thinking that it makes a lot of sense.
I see. So, are you one of those people?
I don't know. I hear them, right? And I hear what they're saying, and there's logic to it. It'd be a space where we have control, and there's precedent. And things are not going super well down here, but... Christ, Kelly, you know me. I don't like throwing in the towel. I don't like saying, well, I guess we failed on this one. Let's try somewhere else. That feels like shit. I didn't, like... It took me so damn long to finish my thesis. And I had the offers to come to Mars years before it was done, but I wasn't going to leave till that thesis was done. That's quitting. But it's not just about me, you know? If it was just me, I would stick here and I would keep fighting. But I am responsible for other people, and I can't say, no, you have to stay here, my ego is on the line. That's not fair.
I think I there know. Are definitely times when there are times when you need to stick with something and other times when you need to know that it may be a it, your efforts may be better suited elsewhere. It's I can't since I'm not entirely in your position, I can't say for certain which of those is for which one of those counts for you, but
oh god damn it, Kelly. Can you just once like be assertive?
Okay.
You could be in charge of all of this, and you're so willing to give the decision up to other people. What should we do?
I think you should stay. I think that splintering out like this, Mars is better when it has a number of... Mars is better when it has everyone working together. And sometimes they don't work together, and sometimes that doesn't work so well, but... Mars is better for its difference in viewpoints. Mars is better when everyone is working towards a certain goal in their own way. And I really don't like the idea of seeing everyone leaving Mars in order to... I don't like the idea of everyone abandoning Mars as something they're no longer either interested in or something they see as a lost cause. I think that... If everyone, I think that people should stay. And I'm kind of just stammering because my character is trying to break the politician situation. Like the predetermined answers are being, it's that situation where you're trying to break out of that rut. So they're kind of like. And it kind of gets a little bit emotional just being like, I still do like you, even if we have very different political opinions and ideas of where this should go. And the idea that I'm driving you out of the one place that you called home doesn't sit well with me. So I don't want that to happen.
Oh, Kelly. You need a vacation, girl.
I do. Yeah, this... I have made some amazing strides here, but also the last few months have felt like everything's kind of falling the fuck apart, and I just need to hopefully, I feel like I'm just on the edge of making everything work, and once everything works, everything will be good to go, but it all feels like it's on an edge of falling apart again, or falling apart worse. And I don't want that to happen.
Listen, Kelly. I don't know how this is going to go. What I know is, can you name me a leader in history who solved every one of their nation's problems in their time of service?
I cannot know. It's always been a... It's always been a situation of some things went well, other things didn't. Well, at least for the good leaders anyway. And, yeah, you do what you can, and then you pass the torch.
Last year we had people threatening to shoot the planet of Earth with a colossal railgun. And now that's, like, those people aren't even, like, setting fire to trash cans. You've already done your job. I'm hopeful you can do more. But however this goes, you've already turned Mars around.
I appreciate hearing that. Thank you so much.
And I'm gonna be honest with you. I think there's a possibility they don't ask if you want a vacation. They kind of give you one and don't invite you back. But there are people here who have seen what you did, and they're going to pick it up. This doesn't end with you. And yeah, you deserve your break. So finish your term and finish strong. But however it goes, be proud in what you've accomplished, and don't let people always fixate on the most recent thing to happen. It's always, you know, you have 4 good years, you have 8 good years, you have 10 good years, and then at the very end, the last couple of months, things don't work out, and that's all they remember. Fuck them. Things are better. Just keep that in your heart.
I will. Thank you.
And also, what are you drinking? Is that, like, it's green. They don't serve anything green here, do they?
They don't?
I don't think so. Is it, like, secret menu?
I thought I just got a vanilla latte. I figured that they just had a special colored milk here or something.
I mean, she's like, she picks up your cup and takes a little sip and sets it down. She's like, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just green food coloring. What day? Is it St. Patrick's Day or something? Whatever. And from then on, the rest of the conversation is more, like, light and friendly. I think.
I see. Am I poison six?
No, no, I was just trying to make light at the end of a tense scene.
Oh.
You're fine.
That's good to hear.
I mean, listen, actually, you know, let's see the next roll. Maybe, but I wasn't planning that.
Oh, God.
I do love it when you give me ideas, though.
So am I rolling for real?
Yeah, so what do you, like, just, like... Do you want to try and address the, like, the... You sort of have a cross-Mars solutions. Do you want to address, like, Earth-to-Mars stuff? Do you want to come up with something for that?
I think so, yeah. Only question is what that would be, since we already have something getting put in place.
I mean, it could just be you contributing to that program. You could have your own solution. You know, you're a science lady. You want to make up some bullshit science fiction thing. Like, oh, we have teleporters now. You know, I know how that's going to go bad if you fail, but...
Yeah, maybe there's a situation where it's like, okay, one of the... Yeah, what if we get into a situation where it's like, okay, I'm looking at this plan for... I'm basically looking at the ideas that were done with the space elevators and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's a situation where it's like, this didn't work, but maybe if this got moved around to this and I run the numbers a bit and... accidentally through the process of trying to figure out exactly how to make this work in an efficient manner, it ends up creating a teleporter.
What about, like, okay, so the way it's worked is you've, like, fired a spaceship, right? Like a railgun.
Uh-huh.
What if you instead basically convert that spaceship into energy and then fire it along the rail system?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Like, yeah, that might work.
Because that way there's much lower stakes. Like, if it hits the planet, like, that's not ideal, but you're not, you know, blowing the planet the fuck up. And it'd be easier to control. And, yeah, okay. Well, let's see how that goes. Let's make some rolls.
Okay. 3 and a 5. So, Nate.
Okay. That brings you up to a 28.
A 6 and a 4.
No, 27. Excuse me.
So, a 10.
Okay.
Fingers crossed. Oh, thank God. I got a 5 and a 5.
You have solved the transportation issue.
Yes! All right, so I guess we do manage to make the railgun thing work after all. Like, there has to be some sort of... I feel like there's a situation where we have to make adjustments to both the railgun here and back in on Earth, and we have to figure out... We more or less transmit the training to... Or the schematics to engineers back on Earth along with... training the operators and stuff like that, but we managed to do our first successful trip over to Earth, between Earth and Mars, in like, I'd say with preparation, everything like that, it takes around 5 to 10 minutes. Do you think that's a good number, or?
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think as far as like real world, like actual science, that's probably infeasible, but I don't care.
Yeah, it's like a situation where there's a little flight speech that happens. People buckle themselves up and take proper safety precautions, and 5 minutes later, bang.
And I think it still has to be like a thing that's like pretty expensive, right? Like, I think like... You get like the sci-fi montage. There's like this like futuristic looking like huge like battery thing that just gets like crushed every time they use it. Like all the energy is smashed out of it. So this is still the expensive option,
mm-hmm.
and there's still normal shuttles. But like as opposed to it being a day and that being incredible, it's 5 minutes now, and it's just like holy shit. Though also, this is probably, like, at least as it is right now, it can't really do cargo.
Yeah.
Mostly just people in their suitcases. But it is, like, it is not just a good solution for the planet. It's a technical marvel that people are going to be figuring out. Obviously, you had help from your other engineers and stuff. You weren't just, like, alone in a thing tinkering. But, yeah, it's, like... I think it's a thing where people, like, we get, like, the shot of, Benedict on Phobos, you know, like, sort of, like sitting at his, like, he's walking through the streets, he's doing, like a meet and greet out there, and he just sees this, like, brilliant, like, ray of light shoot from Mars to Earth, and it lights up his face, and he's just kind of astonished. And Mila Haraway is there at the test, and she's clapping. On the other end, one of the first people to be transported is Sydney Fain, and she's, you know, like she arrives at the other end and starts, you know, like shaking hands, you know, the hero of Mars being one of the first, you know, transporters of this new technology. And she immediately starts asking very rude questions of the nearby leaders.
And they're like, okay, send her back.
Sir, it's going to take a day for it to recharge. No. I think you're like, there's, it's your term ends, and like there's sort of like a thing of like, is the Earth going to renew it? And they just quietly don't, right?
Yeah.
It's not a big messy thing, but they're just like, no, we're good. And they're sending you back via the slow shuttle because it isn't urgent, right? And they don't want to waste the resources.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, you know, there's not a huge crowd at the space station, but there are people there. There is Victoria Bright. There is Mila Haraway. There are some people there to see you off. And there's, you know, people have complicated feelings, but in general, people are grateful for what you did. People who are paying attention. I think the mass populace is still pretty, is bristling. I think there's some real frustration as to how things went. Because it did go pretty bad near the end, and mm-hmm. you did lie to some people in pretty major ways.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think you get sent back to Earth. And when you arrive at the airport, the spaceport, excuse me. At first you're like, oh, okay, there's like, you know, there's no one there to meet me. That makes sense. And then you see that Sydney Fain is there holding a sign that says Perkins, and she's wearing sunglasses like she's a chauffeur.
Oh, hey, Kelly, how's it going? I mean, stretch that is reverse. That,
is it, was that in character?
It was. I meant to do, hey, Sydney.
Hello, Governor. You still get to be called Governor. Did you know that? Even though you're not actually Governor anymore. It's funny. I'm on vacation. I guess you are too, huh?
Yeah. It seems like I'll be on a pretty long vacation / finding a different job, but I'll get some downtime, and I'm pretty thankful for that.
I'd offer you a job with News Network Corps, but I think you'd have a little bit too much of a impact upon the people you were interviewing. What I can offer you, though, is I was about to go get dinner, and I just happened to randomly be standing here in the spaceport with this sign that someone gave me. Not like I was waiting for you or anything.
I'd be happy to get dinner with you, Sydney.
All right. And I think the two of you climb into a cab. And how do things go for Mars after this? How do things go for you after this?
I think in terms of Mars, things go pretty well. Like, I feel like in my absence, I put the, I think I put the Red Party in a pretty good position to, like, take control over time, and they try and work towards having a more socialist style of government there, and, things seem to be going pretty well for them. And as for Kelly, I imagine I feel like she and Sydney are either girlfriends or partners in some capacity, and it's one of those situations where trying to think about, probably a good idea if I didn't return to Mars, right?
I mean, you know, just wear makeup and sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah. She gets to continue to do her job, and I end up supporting her and from the sidelines mostly, while both keeping a low profile and also still getting back into the whole YouTube game. Not making a bunch of public appearances or anything, but kind of doing what I like to do, which is make science interesting and accessible to other people.
And I'm sure the teleporter system has you doing some like consulting stuff, and you're keeping busy.
Totally, yeah. I imagine that sort of thing probably pays well, considering how new of a technology it is.
Mm-hmm. I think the next governor of Mars is Mila, and she, like, it becomes a thing where pretty quickly thereafter, the colony council takes away a lot of the governor's power. And so they're still working with Mila because she's a reasonable person, but like the Yellow Party's agenda is not really coming through. And it's all Mila can do to just sort of address problems. And so because of that, things are going okay. I think eventually, the remnants of the Green Party do also spread to Deimos. And so now both moons are occupied by them. And there is still, like, some growing anti-Earth sentiment among them.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Party all but disappears. But, on the main colony itself, things are going well. And, every once in a while, people drive along the Mila Haraway Highway and laugh about what a sham it is. So in its own way, the fact that she named it after herself means it is not part of your legacy, and you're kind of grateful for that.
Indeed.
All right, I think that's our game of Mars Colony.
All right. That was a lot of fun, like, in terms of things that... Well, this was my very first experience doing some sort of a tabletop situation on a podcast, and I do feel like there was a little bit of... I do feel like it was a growing experience for me in terms of being more comfortable taking on that sort of role over, like, that sort of public performance, but overall I think it went pretty well.
Yeah. I enjoyed it every time you failed, but I'm glad ultimately you succeeded. It was a fun ride.
There was definitely a point during... I'm glad you suggested we switched over to a different transportation thing, because that felt like an ill omen about how the rest of it was going to go, but glad things pulled through at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm happy with the character you made in Kelly. A good picture of a good person who does not belong in politics.
Exactly.
Well, I guess that's it for us here. Next time you hear from us will be episode 0 of our Beam Saber campaign.
Yeah, we are switching things over. Well, we're still doing sci-fi, but this time it's sci-fi that's more like a Gundam or one of those sorts of other mech shows, so it should be interesting, and we'll also have other people participating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have some other friends on. I know we started with Mars Colony, but like, we're gonna do all sorts of role-playing games over time with this podcast. And just a reminder, because I have been spoiling y'all, we have been spoiling y'all, not just me, excuse me. This is technically a monthly show. The fact that you've had 2 episodes will happen sometimes. Don't expect it.
It's going to be harder to manage once we start bringing more people in.
Mm-hmm. Which is also why a lot of the time we're going to stick with just the 2 of us, because it's nice doing episodes like this, and it's also just, scheduling is so annoying. But until next time, folks, peace out.
See ya.